Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by only one person today, Josh McGrath Segang. Josh, how do you feel?
I'm kind of upset. You know, I thought we were going to see all the boys today. Finally all back together, but just the two of us got here today, so way she goes.
It's the last week of January. It's our eighth show of the year. I mean, hey, look at us.
Look at us, man.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought? All right. Well, we're gonna jump right into it. We're not even gonna talk about this. We might have Greg Avgaropoulos join us later in the show, but he wasn't feeling too well, so he decided to stay home for reasons that, you know, maybe should we mention them?
We'll find out later in the show. How about that?
Yeah. We'll find out later in the show. And then Aaron Zerfus is cooking dinner.
Yeah, that's about he's
cooking dinner for his family, and he didn't want to skip it, so. It's just the two of us today, and that's A-okay. We're going to make the best out of the show, and let's jump right into the NFL, shall we? Josh?
All right, so this past weekend, bunch of great divisional round games. So first, to kick off the weekend, was the Bengals-Titans. That game was actually decided within 3 points. The Bengals came out on top. King Henry made his return to the field, and unfortunately that wasn't enough for the Titans.
Man, he was a big fella.
Dude, he's always a big fella. He's massive.
He hasn't played in how many? How long has it been? What? Like,
I think he broke it in like week two or three or something like that. Like,
gosh.
Been a while, and he played pretty well. 20 carries, 62 yards. But the Bengals, you know, Joe Burrow has been proven that he is definitely NFL ready after his first rookie season leaving with an ACL injury. So I think it's going to be really good. The NFL's in good hands with Joe Burrow coming in and playing well.
I also think he's the first quarterback of his age and sort of in the last couple of years to be a first-round pick and actually somewhat be a little bit successful. I mean, Baker Mayfield just isn't there yet. It's very obvious. And who's the other kid there? Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
Isn't there yet either. No. But it's also his first year, and he didn't get injured the whole year. So, yeah. You know.
He also plays for the Jags.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's another organization that's a
little iffy.
Not ideal.
A little iffy. Not really making it to the Super Bowl anytime soon of thing.
No, definitely not. So, going into the second game, Ty, your team, the Rams.
Yep, the Rams, they almost choked to the Bucks. They were up, I think it was something like 27-3 at
something
one
like
point.
That, yeah. That's Tom Brady's favorite score, though. So.
Oh, it is Tom Brady's favorite score. And Tom Brady decided, hey, let me just, you know, come back from this. So I believe they left the half with only 3 points and then left the third quarter with 6 points. And then they climbed back in the fourth quarter. But the infamous Matt Gay, the kicker for the LA Rams, decided to kick it through the uprights with less than 3 seconds left. And the Rams move on to the conference championship. So.
Yeah, and that could be the last game we ever see from Tom Brady. He's not confirmed coming back next year.
I'm hoping
he does. It'd be cool to see him play at 45, yeah. But
here's my stance on it. So Tom Brady has said multiple times that he will know when it is time for him to retire because he will not be able to play up to the level he expects himself to play at. And I don't think we're there yet. I think he still can play to the level he expects himself to play at. I think he wants to, and I think he can, and I think we still have another, I'll even say 2 years ahead of us with Tom Brady, which is unfortunate to say if you're a Bills fan. Speaking of the Bills.
Well, we got one more game before we talk about that, and then we'll get into why Greg's not here. Yeah. But the 49ers, I don't like these boys. They beat my Cowboys 2 weeks ago. But these guys, they went to Green Bay, upset Green Bay, a classic little trend with that team. And yeah, we're probably the last time we're going to see Aaron Rodgers in a Green Bay jersey as well.
I see that one I do agree with.
Him and apparently him and Devontae Adams are supposedly leaving that squad. They posted a little Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen fist bump for the last dance. Both of them, I think they're both gone. Green Bay might be going into a rebuild this next season, and it'll be interesting to see where Aaron ends up next year.
It seems like there's just something in that organization that's just not working out. I mean, I don't know what it is. Like, they've gotten so close so many times, and didn't they win a ring a couple years ago?
I believe they did, yeah.
I believe
Greg Jennings and all those guys.
Yeah, and Aaron has one.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean, we'll see. But I think this was their last chance.
Absolutely. And, yeah, so this offseason will be pretty crazy in the NFL. But finally, the final game of the weekend.
Well, how about the Niners, though? Coming into the cold, too.
I know. That's what shocked me. You know, I thought Green Bay had home field advantage, so I thought it was just going to be Green Bay all day. But
oh, they certainly had home field advantage, but they also had the weather going for them. And Green Bay's used to being in the snow like that. Man.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like playing in Lambeau is a really tough field to go to in the playoffs because it's usually snowing, usually very cold. So especially a team from San Francisco who goes over there and gets the job done. Seems like the 49ers might be one of those squads that has that crazy Cinderella run to the Super Bowl. But
on to the Bills.
Finally, the main reason Greg's not here.
Yeah, so Greg, as you fans may or may not already know, Greg is a massive Bills fan, like huge Bills fan. Let's just put a little bit rundown of this game. It was Chiefs Bills, and it was very obvious by the second quarter that this was a quarterback game.
Yeah, this was a firefight. Yeah,
you know, whoever had the ball was going to score. Both defenses really couldn't contain one another. It was there just wasn't one side that was better than the other. It was a very tight game. It was very close, and it was very, very touchdown, 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 touchdown sort of thing. So we get to the point where it's overtime, 36. Well, actually, we'll even
let's go back just to the final 13 seconds of the game.
Well, we'll go last minute here.
Yeah,
the Bills are down by a field goal.
Yep.
And Josh Allen. Stafford had a great weekend, too. But
Greg would have slapped you if he had
Josh Allen. Josh Allen, right? He amazing. Just a great drive for a good 30 seconds, 35 seconds even. Great drive. Gets the touchdown. I mean, it only took them two plays in the red zone to get it into the end zone. Yeah. And it was fantastic. And there was 13 seconds left. And the whole Bills, everyone thought the Bills had won. And then came the prevent. Josh, can you give me a bit of a rundown as to why you shouldn't play a prevent with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, because you have Tyreek Hill on that team.
You
run Tyreek Hill under all the coverage, and you just give him too much room to start getting that speed going, and he's going to get right up there and make your life a living hell. So,
not to mention Travis Kelce, who likes to stay like 15 to 10 yards away from his quarterback and get the ball there. So, I mean, not a really good defensive play by the Bills. And then, obviously, all they needed was a field goal. So they drove the 75 yards with Mahomes, who is just a freak of nature.
He's so good.
And then they kicked it through the uprights and into overtime. Who wins the coin toss?
Chiefs.
Chiefs win the coin toss. And I think everybody knew once they won the coin toss, okay, this game's over.
Well, it's crazy because going into that coin toss, Josh Allen was 9-0 on the season in coin tosses.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. The first one he lost.
And, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, ended up costing them the season, unfortunately. Great game. Very intense. Very high-level game of football.
Amazing weekend. I don't think there was, like you said, I don't think there was even one game that was within three or more than 3 points of a difference.
Besides the Chiefs game, which like I suggest that's like pretty much a three-point game.
Well, it went to overtime, so it doesn't
matter. That's what I mean. It's like pretty much a three-point game. Going into next weekend, we have Bengals-Chiefs. I really think the Chiefs are probably going to beat the Bengals up.
I don't think so. We'll see. I mean, Jamar Chase has been doing fantastic.
Yeah, so is Joe Burrow, so that'll be interesting.
And in the pocket.
49ers, Rams, that one will also be pretty good, I think. I think the Rams have that one in the bag, so I'm expecting a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I don't want to bet on that, but I do think the Rams are going to make it to the Super Bowl, and it's going to suck for me because I chose to give you a bit of context. I started watching American football this season for the first time this year, and you know, I kind of had to pick a team. So I picked the team that I clicked on first the first 3 weeks, and it was the Rams. And I watched their week one game. I watched their week two game. I can't remember who they were playing. I'm not very educated in American football. But I said, okay, the Rams are going to be the team that I follow. I'm not per se a fan, but I follow them. So it'll kind of suck when they make the Super Bowl and everyone calls me a bandwagon.
Yeah, so that was going to be my last remark, is that you're officially a bandwagon.
I officially will be a bandwagon. Oh, goodness. All right, well, I'll have to stick with the Rams. Well, this has been our NFL conversation. We're going to throw it to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about the National Hockey League, the Ottawa Senators, as well as, you know, goaltenders.
Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. All right,
welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Josh McGrath Sege. Still missing two guests. They haven't showed up out of the thin white dust that we have in this old dusty studio. But you know what? Hey, it is what it is. So let's get into the National Hockey League. Josh, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, so the Ottawa Senators, as you know, Ty's favorite team, he says that they're playing pretty well. They've been playing mediocre.
I mean, they're playing well.
Over 500 in their last 10 games.
But let me explain what's going on here, okay? All right, let me explain. And you object, all right?
I will object.
The Senators have been playing fantastic hockey. They've been moving the puck amazingly. They've been playing to their systems correctly. They've been playing with pace. They've been playing with aggression. And they are fighting for those 2 points at every single team. In Washington, they got a point out of that. The only game I would sort of, and even that one, the Buffalo one sucked. Not Tuesday's Buffalo one, but the Buffalo one a couple days ago. That one sucked because we lost 3-1 to a really bad play that wasn't called off. I mean, a big brawl happens. None of our players are paying attention to the puck. We're trying to protect our player instead, and Buffalo gets a breakaway and puts it in the back of the net, and they end up winning the game because of it. So Ottawa's been fighting for their points, and they're getting a lot of them. They are, unfortunately, now we've got a bit of a situation in Ottawa. Best player goes down. We're going to talk about this a little bit here. There's some trade rumors going around. Do you want to address those first, Josh?
Yeah, so the Sens apparently are looking at Tyler Toffoli.
Yep,
that's how you say it. As a player to bring in after Batherson got hurt. So, Ty, how do you feel about that?
I think it's a fantastic idea. He's a fantastic player. He's got good hands. He's not got a lot of speed on him, but he's got that nice shot like Drake Batherson does. The reason that Toffoli has been linked to Ottawa like that is because Toffoli spent his junior hockey career in Ottawa. Played for the Ottawa 67s. He's one of the Ottawa 67s' best alumni so far. Amazing hockey player. I grew up watching him. I don't think he won a Stanley Cup in Los Angeles, actually. I think he just missed it. I think he went the year after. But, hey, if that's a replacement for Drake Batherson, oh, I am super happy, because then we keep Toffoli, throw him in the back, like the third line or whatever, you know? Maybe get rid of somebody like Chris Tierney, sorry. And, you know, then when Batherson's healthy, throw him in the lineup. And then we've got even more good players to play with, sort of thing.
Yeah, and apparently Toffoli was also, or the Sens were also interested in Toffoli over the free agency this past year. So I'm sure they're really hoping that they can get something out of him because Montreal needs to make some moves. So that'd be definitely a nice addition to the Ottawa Senators.
Hey, Montreal, let me sell you a player here. Let me tell you, number 71, Chris Tierney. Okay, great player for you, Montreal. He's just gonna sit in front of the net. Doesn't like to skate. Not very good, you know. But you know what? He'll sit in front of the net. He'll tip the puck it, and that's how you'll get goals because Montreal obviously can't get any. Sorry, I'm done.
And also for Ottawa fans, Captain Brady Tkachuk will be replacing Drake Batherson in the All-Star game this upcoming February, I think it's in.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be pretty good for everyone. I know Brady Tkachuk's a very loved name inside Ottawa, so it'll be nice to see him get his first All-Star nod.
Especially now as a captain. I believe he has been in the All-Star game before, in St. Louis. But that being said, I think it's a great opportunity. I think Brady should bring Batherson with him.
Oh, I'm sure Batherson will go.
I'm almost positive Batherson will come with Brady Tkachuk, even if he is injured, unless he's doing rehab work, in which case he probably won't go. But I think that's his weekend to enjoy himself. You know,
absolutely.
Like he deserves that. He deserves to be at the All-Star game, and it's quite unfortunate. Now we're gonna get to the reason why he's missing the All-Star game. Josh, can you give us a bit of a rundown on the play that injured Drake Batherson?
Yeah, so the puck was going behind the net. Batherson was going to get it, and then the Aaron Dell, the goalie, pops out of the net, throws an elbow at him, and Batherson flies into the boards and breaks his ankle, or fractures his ankle.
Fractures his ankle, I believe it was. I think it's just a hairline fracture, which, you know, it's just a hairline fracture. I'm in pain.
I can see that in your face right now.
Yeah, so this is going to arise. This arose the question, if a goalie is in play and is allowed to do that, or is a player allowed to hit the goalie?
I think so. I think it makes total sense. You know, if the goalie's going to come out of his crease, and I feel like that's where his safe zone should be. If he wants to come out and play the puck, I feel like he should be fair game.
I'll disagree with you a little bit. I think the trapezoid behind his net should count too. I think they should be safe behind their own net as well. Because a lot of the time, the goaltender is handling the puck behind their net and don't see the player coming from behind.
Well, then that's just a hit from behind, no?
No, I genuinely think that the goaltender shouldn't be allowed to be hit behind his own net in the trapezoid. There's a little area.
Yeah, yeah.
And then their crease. But anywhere else, Dell was not in that area.
No, he was like just to the right of the net.
He was outside of his crease and outside of his trapezoid. And this is a repeated offender. He's hit multiple players along the boards. He hit a Nashville guy earlier this year on the boards. Once he got the puck on the boards. And he hit him, like drilled him, like went like 10 feet. So, I don't know, what's the verdict here? He's supposed to have a hearing? Yeah, so Aaron Dell will have a hearing. It looked like it would have been Wednesday for interference on Ottawa's Drake Batherson. So we're just waiting to hear what his suspension is because, I mean, if he doesn't get suspended, the league's going to blow up. Like, people are not going to be happy.
Yeah, they definitely got to get something figured out with that because it's a safety for the players and as well safety for the goalies at the same time. So they have to find out a good medium in between.
And it comes down to, like, a goaltender has an unfair advantage. He's got more gear. He's bigger. He's stronger. He sees more of the ice. I mean, I don't know. It might, especially now where, you know, the Sens are just starting to turn the curtain around and they're starting to become a really good hockey team. And you can see it, like, even if they're having a couple bad games still and getting a little unlucky, like, you can definitely see the glimpses of a good hockey team there, right? So, I mean, Greg would disagree with me on every point case, and so would Aaron, but they don't
I'm
watch
also gonna
them.
Disagree.
Well, you don't watch them every night. They are turning.
But I think really good hockey team is a stretch. They're becoming better.
No, I think they're turning into a really good hockey team. They're not there yet.
They're turning into a better hockey team. I'll correct your English. Really good is like a, you know, top four team in the league.
Yeah. I'll disagree with you that one. I think I'm talking like a playoff team is a really good team. I'd say an excellent team would be a top five team. And I hate to say this, but Toronto is a part of that group. Carolina is a part of that group. Florida is a part of that group.
Tampa.
Tampa is unfortunately part of that group, right? So I think we actually just named all five of them. I mean,
Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado. That's
they're
it.
Really good hockey.
That's it. That's excellent hockey teams, and then the rest are really good, unless you're out of the playoffs, in which case you're good if you're fighting, and you're bad if you're terrible. You know?
So I guess, okay. So you guys have the longest winning streak in the Atlantic right now.
We do.
With two games.
Which is fantastic. Which is great, because if we keep that going, and then the other teams keep losing. See, there's one as a Sens fan, there's one team I think that could fall, and that we could take that at the end of the year, because we have a lot of runway to take it. And I think it's Boston.
I think right now you guys have the best chance at catching Detroit.
Oh, we're going to catch 18, Detroit, no problem.
But Boston's 24-13.
No, I think we can. I see, this is the thing. I think Boston will eventually fall. And I'm not saying that it's either going to be Boston or Pittsburgh, and then it's not going to be Pittsburgh. I don't think so. Like, they're playing such good hockey. But that's the other thing. They're playing such good hockey right now, but they were without Crosby, too. So it's like,
yeah, they're going to get better. I don't know, I think Ottawa has a lot of work cut out for them to make the playoffs, but I don't see them making the playoffs. I can see them scooching up to that fifth seed, but that's probably the closest they'll get.
No, I don't completely disagree with you, but I think they have a chance. I think it's there. That being said, it's really tough. Like, you gotta, like,
yeah, they gotta, like, win 18 to everything. 20 games, pretty
yeah,
much.
Like everything.
And hope Boston, like you said, Boston loses like 10 in a row at some point.
Well, they will eventually, because every good team
has 10 in a row?
Poor stretch. No, but they'll definitely have a losing streak at one point. And if Ottawa backs it up with a winning streak and doesn't stop, that's your beacon of hope.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Well, I think we've covered everything. Have we?
Oh, damn. My LA boys. Let's go.
Yeah?
My Kings boys.
You're doing all right, eh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
After a pretty rough start to the season.
Alrighty. Well, let's get into the MMA talks. This has been a bit of a really good topic for us, eh, Josh?
Yeah. I mean, the reason it's made the show finally is because on our three-hour special, our program coordinator, Dan, shout out Dan, said that this was our best topic. So I was like, boys, we're keeping it.
Keeping it.
I love it. All right.
Let's break some energy.
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. So this past weekend, UFC 270, Francis Ngannou defended his title, first title defense for the boy, against Ciryl Gane. And this guy has improved drastically over the last year since we've seen him. He can wrestle now. Terrifying, dude. He already touches you. You go to sleep. Oh, dude. He doesn't touch you anymore. He's gonna pick you up and slam you.
Dude, is there? There's nicknames in UFC, right?
Yeah, his name's the Predator.
The what?
Yeah, the Predator. Not, like, no,
it's
it is.
Not a good nickname.
Yeah, dude, it's like hunting and stuff, like an apex predator.
Well, yeah, okay, I guess so, but that's not how it would be perceived.
I know, but you know, get out of your little 18-year-old head, bro. Anyways, okay, so Francis Ngannou comes out, does his thing. Does his thing, wrestles Ciryl Gane to a different oblivion, and you know, Gane suffered his first loss in MMA. Great fight overall, loved it. The co-main event, though, my boy Brandon Moreno, the assassin baby, he kind of got robbed, I think.
Bro, that guy scares me. Kinda. Just a little bit. He scares me. Oh, just a little bit.
Why is he scary? I'm more scared of Figueiredo.
No, I'm not scared of Figueiredo because he just makes himself look dumb.
Well,
but Moreno is like quiet. It's the quiet ones that are the scary ones.
That's fair. But yeah, no, Moreno, I felt like Moreno won the fight. I know Figueiredo did drop him a few times, but I just felt like Moreno put on more of a performance and he just had a better overall fight. Razor thin, though. I wasn't too mad with the decision because we're going to get a fourth fight from these gentlemen.
Oh, 100%.
We have to. They're 1-1-1. You know, both sides, one win, one loss, one tie. So fourth fight incoming. Great fight. This upcoming weekend, we have a UFC fight night. Jack Hermanson, the Joker, will be fighting Sean Strickland. I like to call him the weirdo because he just says weird things all the time.
Strickland, he's like the Antonio Brown in the UFC.
Pretty much, man. Like, he says some questionable things sometimes. I'm like, how does Dana not cut this guy? Because, like, I can't even say them on air is how bad and messed up
yeah.
it is. And then the following weekend, we'll get Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker 2. And I'm excited for that one because I think Izzy's going to put on another masterclass.
Oh, 100%.
So looking this weekend, if you want to see a banger, you know, a bunch of violence between Hermanson and Strickland. And then the following weekend, Israel Adesanya.
That was really aggressive, Josh.
Dude, there's no other way to speak about the sport. It's an aggressive sport.
Yeah.
It's like people just throwing fists for a living.
Yeah. Who do you think would win a fight between our two co-hosts that are missing today? Mr. Greg Avgaropoulos or Mr. Aaron Zerfus?
Well, you know, tail of the tape shows, Aaron is definitely have the reach advantage.
Reach advantage, yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
He's going to be a little taller. It's going to be harder for Greg to reach and hit him. But, you know, I haven't seen Greg grapple. He doesn't seem like a
very... I haven't seen him grapple, you know, I haven't seen Aaron be very active.
But yeah, exactly. You know, really interesting fight.
I've seen Greg run around and do some activity, you know, hey, whereas Aaron, I haven't.
You guys have scrapped before, you and Greg?
A little bit. He hits hard.
There you go.
That's... He hits kind of hard, even when he's playing. Like, buddy can throw.
I was going to say,
That being said, I think Aaron's got the reach and he's got the speed. You know, but Greg's got that Markham energy, you feel me?
never mind, yeah, for sure. But then again, but Aaron's from Minnesota.
Well,
I know what they do down there.
He's American, so he's got to deal with, you know, that stuff.
Yeah, whatever happens down there.
Whatever happens down there. Oh, I think everyone knows what happens down there. But he's also from the state of hockey. Minnesota is considered the state of hockey. Not a lot of fighting in Minnesota.
I can tell you. I've never been.
I mean, he's... Yeah, whatever.
I'm just going to say this, though. The upcoming next few weeks of UFC...
Pretty aggressive?
Pretty heavy? Look at my lips. I was going to say something else, but I'm not allowed.
Yeah. Sexy. Is it sexy?
No, I'll tell you after. But, oh, yeah, okay. No. We got some good fights coming up.
That ruins it. You can't say that.
Hey, these people are just going to have to make it up in their mind.
Okay, well.
All right, well... That's all I got for our UFC 5 minutes.
Thank you for the energy. We're going to throw it to a break when we come back. We're going to talk about the NBA a little bit and an unfortunate tragedy that happened 2 years ago. I know it's a really big fluctuation between the two energies. We're being really energetic, and then we're going to be getting a little bit emotional here. But, yeah, you're listening to the Press Box on CKDG 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Josh McGrath. Segang, we're going to get a little bit emotional here. Today, January 26th, 2022, is the second anniversary, or not anniversary, sorry. It's 2 years from...
Anniversary.
Yeah, I guess so, but an anniversary is happy. This is by no means necessary a happy event that happened in the sports world. Josh, would you like to take us off?
Yeah, so 2 years ago today, Kobe Bryant and 8 others died in a tragic helicopter accident. I still remember this day. Every time it comes around, it sucks. I remember, you know, being in my room, chilling. My friend texted me just being like, dude, Kobe died. And I was like, there's no way. Hour later, the news gets reported, and I just went to my room, tears, super sad. So today, I just kind of wanted to honor him and talk about some of the best moments that he gave us as a basketball player because, you know, this guy was hard work personified. He put in a lot of time and effort in the gym, and you saw it every time he went out and played. So,
oh yeah,
we're going to kind of go over some of his best moments. You know, obviously, there's the one for Canadians that probably still stings. He dropped 81 points on the Raptors. Second best scoring performance of all time from an NBA player since Wilt Chamberlain, who scored 100. You know, I remember the night he retired and me and my buddy were in my basement watching the game. And he asked me before the game, how much you think he's going to score? And I was like, I'll give him 35. He said 41. And then as we're watching, he hits 35, hits 41. We look again, we're like, he must be going for 50. And then he went off for 60 in his final game of his career, which was absolutely insane. And, I mean, a lot of people hated on it because he got a lot of shots. But regardless, absolutely incredible performance from him. No better way for him to top off his career, considering he's arguably the best scorer in NBA history. Another great time was when, you know, he tore his Achilles, got back up, went and shot 2 of his free throws, and then walked off the court by himself with no assistance. That one was tough for a lot of Lakers fans because, you know, we were already going through a tough year that year with the supposed super team with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and everyone just started dropping like flies. And then Kobe ends up tearing his Achilles, and that was about it for the season for us. But, you know, that was also just his mama mentality, something that a lot of people, a lot of athletes look up to and inspire after him. Another one was when, back in 2001, him and Shaq were playing in the NBA Finals, and Shaq went and got fouled out, and Kobe just went up to him and said, "I got this, second-year player." And he went over, took over in overtime, came back in Game 7, and they went on to win that championship, you know? And
I remember that.
Yeah, man, Kobe, he was a different breed.
Different.
And another game that comes to mind whenever I think about Kobe was the Game 7 against the Celtics, the second time they played them in the Finals in 2010. You know, the first time they played them, everyone was calling Kobe a bad teammate, didn't pass the ball a lot, yada, yada, yada. So the year before, Kobe said, "You know what? I won't take any shots in Game 7. Let's see what happens." He takes zero shots. They lose that Finals. Next year, they beat Orlando. They go back to play the Celtics. Year 3, they make the Finals. His second three-peat in his career on the road. And then he goes on and puts on a masterful performance in Game 7. Ron Artest saved him a little bit with that jump shot, but still, masterful performance.
Yeah. To give the viewers out there that are not basketball fans a bit of a understanding about how big of a giant Kobe Bryant was, he's compared to one of the best basketball players in the world ever. He's in that conversation easily. It's Jordan. It's Kobe. It's LeBron. I mean, you don't have that conversation without talking about Kobe Bryant first.
Absolutely not. You know, for me, Kobe's... I played basketball growing up, and me and my friends have this our conversation all the time. It's like, would you rather play against a guy who can get everyone involved, or would you rather play against a guy who's going to hit every shot in your face?
Yeah.
And I do not want to play against a guy like Kobe, because you can sit there and play phenomenal defense for 22 seconds, and he's going to give you a pump fake, and he's going to hit the shot with two guys on top of him, and he's going to look at you with a little smirk on his face, and you're going to be demoralized. You just worked so hard for all that time just for him to score anyways.
Let's be honest. His goal was to win, but his ultimate goal was to show everybody in the National Basketball Association that he could work harder than you.
Yep.
And he will. And no matter what it takes, he's going to prove it to you that he worked harder than you.
Well, yeah, there was a story Jay Williams told after his tragic passing, and Jay Williams was like, I think his first time playing against Kobe, so he's like, "We're in Staples. I'm going to get to the gym 3 hours early, get this working." He got there, and Kobe was already in a full sweat putting up shots.
Yeah.
And then, so Jay Williams did his three-hour workout, sat down. Kobe was still working out. And an hour later, stopped. Kobe came over to him, or after the game, Jay went up to him. He's like, "Kobe, like, why are you putting so much work?" He's like, "So you always will know you can never outwork me." And just walked away from him. I was like, what?
A bit of a positive on today. Today's Wednesday. We've recorded the show on Wednesday, January 26th. A statue memorializing Kobe Bryant and Gigi Bryant has been put just outside of where the helicopter crashed. There's a bunch of flowers and such. It's a really pretty sight to see them, you know, recognize that spot, you know.
Yep.
It's unfortunate. It sucks. He was a giant. I mean, there's only so many giants like he was. I mean, there's Gretzky, there's Crosby, there's Ronaldo, there's Messi. And then in the NBA, there's Kobe Bryant, there's LeBron James, and there's Michael Jordan. And
yep.
I mean, you might throw a couple names out there that are pretty darn close to that too, like Shaquille O'Neal's up there.
Shaquille, you can argue Curry and Durant, but
oh yeah. But no. Top three easy every time. And in the MLB, it's the same thing. You've got Mike Trout. You've got Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, that's it. And it's always unfortunate when one of those giants go down. And I don't even think he was 50 years old.
43, I think, when he passed.
My God.
And that's for me, the hardest part was that he was just getting into that second phase of his life when he just dedicated like 20 years of basketball to it. So it was nice to see him become the family, you know, I mean, the family guy, coaching his daughter's basketball team, all that stuff, inspiring the next generation of athletes, and then this happens. And you saw how it impacted the NBA as a whole. They stopped games that day. You know, for us Lakers fans, it was nice to see the Lakers hoist the trophy once again. They went on to win it for him that year. Another famous line that came back up was his saying, you know, job's not finished. Yeah, exactly. Now everyone says it whenever, you don't seem too happy about this. Yeah, job's not finished. You know, it's just a big nod to Kobe. Another great, great memory for me is when he scored 62 and the Mavs only scored 61 through three quarters. He could have, and it was actually funny because people asked him, why didn't you go for the record that night? He said, I'll do it another game when we need it. And then 2 weeks later, he scored 81 on the Raptors. Yeah. So it's like, this guy was just a beast of a basketball player. And he's dearly, dearly missed by not just fans, but friends, family, everyone. Thank you for all your great moments, Kobe.
Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, I can't attest to it too much because I'm not a huge basketball guy, but seriously, if you're just a sports fan, it's all over the place, all the time. Even now, when he's unfortunately no longer with us, you see it everywhere.
Yep.
Kobe moments everywhere. What you just did, you've been wanting to do almost all day.
Yeah, literally.
Five moments. You just wanted to talk about 5 moments about Kobe Bryant. And that effect, the effect that he had on people like that is truly mesmerizing. It's amazing. It inspires you. It motivates you. And his ability to do that with every single person that he met and played against is truly amazing. It really is. It goes to show a lot about the kind of person he was.
Absolutely. And yeah, people, you know, like to talk about all the things he did wrong in his life, but he always improved on them. He's what everyone wants to be. He woke up and was better every day. That's what everyone tries to do, and he did that every single day. He worked for it, and you know, it's safe to say when he left, he was definitely the best person he could have been.
All right. Well, let's move on from Kobe Bryant for a little bit. I got one question for you. Ben Simmons, what's going on?
So apparently now the 76ers are planning on trading him in the offseason because they're not interested in the market that's happening right now. So there's not many people going to get moved. But apparently James Harden's not too happy in Brooklyn. So the Sixers are hoping to wait till the offseason to try and make a sign and trade for Harden, which I'd be super happy about because Harden should have been in Philadelphia already and should have just been, you know, a nice two-man game across the whole league. But he ended up going to the Nets, and then that was not too happy for a lot of fans. But yeah, apparently Harden's really unhappy with the Nets because of injuries, Kyrie Irving having to sit out like every other game and all that. So apparently he's interested in trying to test the market this offseason.
My head hurts. Why does he keep moving? I don't get it.
Because he just wants to win.
I know, but
he was so close in those Houston days, but lost to the better Warriors every time. And then went to Brooklyn, and I fully understand where he's coming from, where like he probably thought this was going to be a walk in the park to a ring, but it's clearly not. You know, you're without Kevin Durant now for 6 weeks. Kyrie Irving refuses to get vaccinated, so he can't play. And then the rest of your team's kind of old and just not fully
Blake Griffin disheveled.
Yeah, he's not even getting minutes anymore. Paul Millsap, who they signed, not getting minutes. So it's like you just look at their squad and you're like, I totally get where he's coming from. And I think him, Joel, in Houston
would be insane.
Dude, that's probably one of the scariest duos we'll ever see in a long time. Because and roll is not going to be fair. And I've been saying this since his Houston days.
Both sides of the court.
If you're a team, you want Harden to have a pick and roll partner that can either roll to the net or he can pop out for a three. Mm. And Joel can do that.
Yeah.
And you're making Joel's life easier because right now he's going on a tear. Like his last 15 games, he's averaging like 37 points a game or something. But
he always does that.
No, I know, but like this year specifically, he has to do it like the rest of the year for them to continue competing. But you get Harden, he can take nights off. He can just play defense. He just get his 20 and 10 and chill. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with Ben and Harden this offseason.
All right, well, we're going to throw it to a break, and we'll be right back with we're going to talk a little bit about the Nepean Raiders, but we're also going to have our Hot Topic, so stick around.
Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDG 107.9. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Josh McGrath. Say, gang. Josh, what's our hot topic for today? But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about Claude Giroux. What have you heard?
So, Claude Giroux is supposedly wanting out of Philadelphia, and there has been recent times in his career that he has mentioned that he would like to play for Ottawa. So it'll be interesting to see if Ottawa can make a push to try and get him at the trade deadline.
And it would make sense. I mean, it just would. So he hasn't fully stated that he wants out, but it's very obvious that, you know, there's a lot of people speculating, and the general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, Chuck Fletcher, has even said it will be Claude's decision. It's going to have to, you know, Claude's going to have to ask for it. And Giroux is going to meet with his agent, Pat Brisson, during the All-Star weekend. And we will see where it goes from there. And yes, he's from Ottawa. He played for Gatineau. He lives in Gatineau. He is French. He definitely wants to play at home. Kind of like a Kawhi Leonard situation there. So we'll see. It would make a lot of sense for Ottawa. Their centers are short, and Chris Tierney is their main center right now, other than Tim Stützle, who's, you know, I love him in the middle, and I think he's so much better in the middle, but he's supposed to be on the wing. He is, and it's unfortunate. But we'll see what happens. But speaking of the All-Star break, Josh, our hot topic.
So, should the All-Star game in the NHL be one player per team, or should be the best players in each division?
My answer to this is no.
No for... Okay. So I think it should be the best players in the division. I think if you're doing this one player per team thing, it's going to be kind of not as entertaining, I'd say. Like, I think it deserves to be the best player in the leagues, because being an All-Star is like a nod to being that. So when you have these teams that are struggling and none of the players are better than some of the other guys, and you're just throwing one guy on there just for the sake of doing it, I think it's kind of ridiculous and unfair to the guys that do put in work every single day to be better and that are the best.
And don't get me wrong, every player in the National Hockey League tries their hardest, works their hardest, whatever, body, yada, whatever. You know what I mean? That being said, I do think your option of doing it is much better than what they're doing this year. I really do. I think it should be the best players from your division. But what I'd like to see is I'd like to see a full team of guys from each conference, and then one from each division as a captain, and then they pick their team.
Oh, that'd be cool. Like how the NBA does theirs with the draft. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because they did that one year in the National Hockey League. When it was two conferences, it was just one game. And I love the idea of having a tournament. The tournament is so good. But I loved the draft. I loved it.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It was a great idea. It was amazing.
The NBA is actually adapting that tournament style to their All-Star weekend with the sophomore rookie game. So that'll be pretty cool to see.
And that's another thing. I think there should be a little bit of a World Juniors mix in there, too. I think the best players in the OHL, WHL, and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League should be thrown on an All-Star team and play as a showcase. Cool. Because you got the rookie game.
Yeah.
And I think there are, or even just a rookie game itself. And then you choose a rookie from every single team in the National Hockey League. That makes sense.
Yeah. And actually, you were saying before we were talking about this, you were saying how would they fix the problem? Because some teams have bigger markets, right? So their fans are going to start just voting them in. What I would say to that is you do similar to the NBA, how they do theirs, where they have 50% are fans, but those votes only matter so much, right? Because some fans will try and get the 40-year-old guy who's been, if Jágr was still in the league, he could be the worst player in the league, and people still vote him in.
They do that, but it's not to the same extent. The percentages are a lot more weighted towards the fans, because the fans want to see it more. It's more for the fans.
Yeah, but it's also one of those things that's like I was saying, it's a nod to them. You know, they are the product and stuff, so it's it'd be if you're the employee of the month, and you're clearly the employee of the month, and then they give it to the guy who just got hired a week, and cleaned the bathrooms once that week, and you've been there for 5 years, you never got it. It makes more sense that you give it to him and not the new guy. So it's I think you have to give it more to the media, the team, and the coaches and all that for the weighted votes. And then the fans, they get to vote in like the Crosbys, the Ovechkins, like all the guys that actually deserve to be there. But
yeah,
I think you should definitely have it. The best players in each division,
I think,
go to the All-Star game.
I think a good compromise would be the players of the actual team. You could go one player from each team, but the team itself votes that player in. And then they vote a bit, or the team itself votes a couple players in. So the actual players have to vote who goes.
Yeah.
And then those players get voted by the fans.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I just think it's not really fair to some of these other guys that missed the All-Star game just because it has to be one player from each team. I get it. It's to make, you know, you get 30 different fan bases all watching your All-Star break. But even then, it's like, just give us the best hockey you could give us, you know, be way more entertaining.
And let's be honest, it's not 30. It's like 28 because Arizona doesn't count. Okay.
You guys have 32 teams though, so
I had to destroy them in
that. I guess Seattle's probably fan base probably isn't very big.
Like even Florida's got a lot of people at their games now. I mean, they've got Kodak Black.
I saw that. That was crazy.
In a box, just absolutely hitting some, you know, while watching the Florida Panthers game.
Yo, I saw that and I was dying. I was like, there's no
way. That was amazing.
I was like, there's no way.
Bro. In public, come on, like, who does that? But you know, I think it's good publicity for the league, you know? I mean, it's very weird press, but it's press.
It's probably,
you know,
it's probably
I mean?
The most watched video this year.
Oh, 100%.
Not gonna lie.
And it's on his story, too. He's hitting some.
That was insane. I saw that and I was like, dude, there's no way this is real.
Oh, goodness. So I guess our answer to this hot topic is, it should be changed.
Yeah, I think it should just be the best players in the league. Simple.
I mean, yeah, simple, but like the way in the way you would conduct it, that can change. But you know, hey, I mean, you could also grab coaches and then they pick their best players from the conference. There's a bunch of different ways you could do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like I saw a post last week, and it was like, imagine this lineup against the actual All-Star team, and like that lineup would destroy the actual All-Star team.
Oh, yeah.
Of the amount of guys that missed the All-Star game. And I'm like, yeah, see, this is not okay.
Yeah.
You know, one or two snubs, it is what it is. But, like, when you snub 30 guys of their opportunity to play, it's like, what are we doing here, boys?
That face you just
what
made
are we doing?
Is fantastic. Yeah, no, it sucks. It sucks. It's crappy. I mean, it makes no sense. But look at us.
Oh. Dell was suspended 3 games for the interference call.
Oh, really?
39 minutes ago.
Awesome. Official. Nice. I mean, aw.
Hey, he got what was coming for him.
He did. I mean, hey, that happened multiple times, and now the Buffalo Sabres are going to start losing some games, and the Sens are hopefully going to win a couple and get past the Sabres, and that's one and done. We don't got to worry about them no more. They don't. And then Detroit, that's our next piece. Let's go. Oh, let's go, baby. Let's go, Sens fans. United in red.
Too Sens much? Sens Army. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Sens Army.
Sens Army. Woo! Let's go, Carlson.
Oh, man.
That's a little too much. All right. Well,
rip.
Yeah. In other words, just in news of the Ottawa scene, the Rideau Canal opened a couple weeks ago. Josh, have you had a chance to get on there yet?
Nah, bro. I haven't owned skates in like 10 years.
I will tell you right now, do not come to Sport Check and buy skates, please. We're out of them.
Well, I had no intention of buying skates. I'm not a big winter person.
What?
Yeah, man.
You don't like winter?
I'm not a big winter person at all.
What, you just...
All. Too cold, man.
Just
too
lay cold. In bed.
Like today, yeah, dude, I walked outside today to get my Tim Hortons this morning. It was like minus 30 this morning. I was like, what the heck? I had to wait in my car for like 10 minutes for my windshields to clear. I just sat there freezing in the car, just being like, dude, what is this?
Just shivering.
Yeah, like, I was just like, what is
warm
this?
Warm up, please. All right, well. All right. Well, you can listen to the Press Box on Thursdays and Saturdays. Let's get into the Raiders a little bit. Update on their schedule.
I'm not going to lie. I was just trying to look at that, and I think they took the schedule off the website.
TheCCHL.ca?
Yeah, man.
Well, it should be there. I mean...
No, it literally just shows January 4th, Carlton Place, Renfrew.
No, it's February.
Oh.
Third, sixth week.
Oh, why does it do that? All right, all teams, Nepean, where you at, boys?
Yeah, so the Raiders
as you know.
Oh, my goodness.
As you know, the four of us on the press box, me, Josh, Aaron, and Greg, as well as Bradley Rogers, we all do Nepean Raiders games for CKDJ 107.9. And when is our first one back, Josh?
February 2nd, Nepean will be taking on Navin in a must-win for the Raiders.
Must-win.
I mean, we had Frank on last week. He did not seem...
happy.
Yeah, he wasn't happy. He didn't seem to believe that they had a good shot at making the playoffs. But I still believe.
They still have a chance. Their percentage is still there.
I still believe. This team is always that close to winning a game.
Oh, yeah.
And they shoot themselves in the foot.
That's exactly what Ottawa looks like. It's just no shooting themselves in the foot. So there you go. That's a good example. The Ottawa Senators look exactly like the Nepean Raiders, but they don't shoot themselves in the foot at the end. They fight to the very end and then hope for the best.
See, that's my thing, though, is they hope for the best, but Nepean just makes silly mistakes.
Yeah,
they are a good hockey team, but then they just get carried away with being up like 2 goals.
Yeah, Ottawa doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Ottawa's just playing from behind the whole time. Anyways.
Anyways, we haven't played from behind in like 7 games.
They play Navin twice, once in Nepean, once on Navin. And then they have a 2-game stretch against Carleton Place and Renfrew. That's 2 tough games, dang. And then Hawkesbury. And then the dreaded Junior Senators.
In Ottawa on a Saturday.
Oh my God.
That's going to be a garbage.
You never know. They were winning last time.
They were, but, you know.
And then they let in 14 goals.
PTSD, don't get.
Then they let in 14 goals. No, Ty called that one.
No.
Ty saw his nightmares about
it. My head already hurts from this James Harden conversation we had. And now you're adding the Raiders? Come on.
Why'd your head hurt after that one?
Because he keeps wanting to move. Like, James Harden's always in the talk of trades.
He's at the bottom of the rankings now? Boys, what happened?
What's this? The Raiders? Yeah. Smith Falls kind of won a couple games. The Raiders, I think they've lost, 10 in a row? What's their streak at there? They haven't won since. They were on that losing streak, and they got so close in Hawkesbury, and then they lost.
Dude, that game made me sad.
Me too.
I still remember that. I almost collapsed to the ground, and I just hear Tyler laughing because I was just so depressed.
I was laughing.
I drove like an hour to get there.
Yeah, I was laughing.
We were winning
at
the
you.
Whole time.
I wasn't then, laughing at the Nepean Raiders.
I know. I know.
I was laughing at Josh because he was. We're very invested in this team right now. We would consider ourselves fans of the Nepean Raiders because we do their games so often. But I mean,
I am a fan of the Nepean Raiders.
That being said, we will be doing the CCHL playoffs as well. Whether the Raiders make it or not, we'll be there for... We don't know what teams yet. We're going to pick a team.
Definitely the Junior Senators.
Probably not.
Why not?
Because they've already got a full crew with them. They've got radio.
Dude, every other team does too.
No. Only Pembroke and Ottawa do. I mean, I think Renfrew does too, but there's not a lot of teams that...
No,
like,
when we were
for
in
a while,
dude, when
CK
we were in
DJ,
Hawkesbury, there was a whole crew there beside us.
Yeah, it's Hockey TV.
Oh.
So every team has Hockey TV no matter what. But like Navin would be a good team to do, and so would Brockville. But I don't know. We'll see.
Dude, you only drive to Brockville every like 2 days ago.
So we're gonna pick a team and we're gonna follow them until they get eliminated. And once they do get eliminated,
we'll pick another team.
We'll pick another team.
This is what we'll do. Once the playoffs are in set, we'll pick a team out of a hat. Random team. Oh god.
Yeah, but there's no buses, buddy.
Pembroke. You just said Brockville.
I know, but Pembroke's closer than Brockville.
But you just said Brockville.
Brockville's closer than Pembroke.
No,
yeah, it is.
No.
Maybe not for you. For me, yeah.
It's literally the same distance from, like, what?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what we do.
Yeah,
We're not 100% sure yet.
Pembroke drive in like an hour, so.
Yeah. We'll see what we do. But we will definitely be, there will definitely be CCHL playoffs on CKDJ 107.9. So if you're looking to, you know, listen to some junior hockey, please join in. I mean, hey, why not, right? Is that everything? Have we covered everything?
I think so. I think pretty much. Yeah, Nepean, boys, we love you.
Come on.
Get some dubs for us.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get the wheels on the train moving. And let's not stop, okay? Hit the tunnel full speed.
Or just keep the last place and go get the first overall pick. Either one.
No, that's a bad idea.
No, it's a great idea.
No, because you never get him because he just goes to the OHL. So.
That's true. Yeah, but then don't take a guy that's supposed to go to the OHL. Take a guy that's guaranteed stay.
So basically, throw away your first round pick.
No. Well, what? You're going to draft a guy in the OHL, he's going to go to the OHL, and then you're just going to be like, oh, we don't have a pick anyways.
You draft a guy who's like 14, and he's going to the OHL, so you still make your organization look good, which makes good players come to you. That player will never play for the Nepean Raiders junior also, hockey team. He'll only play the U18s. Huh?
So Ty himself is looking for a roster spot somewhere, so.
Oh, yeah.
Call up his line.
Yeah.
Might need this guy.
Yeah, call me up. Hey, anyone.
Mr. Dangle Snipe Selly.
I'll be sending out emails. Don't worry. Just check your phone numbers. Renfrew, I'm looking at you. You're looking a little spicy right now. Nepean? No.
Dude, come on. Guaranteed spot there.
No. I don't think so. Not with my dad on the coaching squad. Not like that. I don't think so. Yes. It's not a guaranteed spot because it's not his decision, right? So
that's true.
I'm sure he'd love to coach me, but...
Put in a good word.
Oh, no, he can't. Can't lie. I'm not that good.
Jeez.
All right, anyway. Well, this is the end of our show. We're running out of time. So, I want to thank you for listening to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. We'll be back next week. But for now, you can listen to the show on Thursdays at 1 o'clock and Saturdays at 11 a.m. I'm Tyler Sear signing off. Josh McGrath-Sege. Aaron
should be done dinner by now.
Should be done dinner by now, but you know, hey.
He already cooked.
He didn't come through the door, so it's unfortunate. And Greg Avgaropoulos is...
Hopefully his depression will be over. We're going to get him a therapist this week.
Yeah. We brought him some cake the other day, and he seemed really happy about that until he saw the colors of blue, red, and white. And then he started crying again, so... It's unfortunate, but you know, hey, we're with you. Okay? So yeah, hopefully we get a full crew next week. I think we will.
Fingers crossed, man.
Yeah.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.